Hello, and thank you for listening to Mapping the Zone, a podcast on the informal discussions surrounding the works and context of Thomas Pynchon. Once again, my name is Kate, and I am joined by no one this week, as we are still working through our scheduling stuff. This week, we are going to be bringing you the column that Hunter S. Thompson wrote for ESPN, of all places. Very strange area for him to publish this in, but it was where he was writing at the time, so, you know, who cares? That he wrote about 9/11 in particular, which, much like a lot of Hunter S. Thompson's writing, may have seemed, you know, a bit paranoid or a bit out there as far as his sort of point of view on the world. But with the benefit of hindsight and the benefit of the way the world has kind of developed, it really more so seems like he was just sort of spot on and was able to see where things were headed and was able to articulate it in a way that would only gain relevance as time has gone on, which a lot of people point to this essay in particular. It's really more of a brief sort of article than an essay or a column as an example of sort of the relevance of his writing to today's world. So, without further ado, this is entitled Fear and Loathing in America by Hunter S. Thompson, writing underneath his Hey Rube column for page 2 at ESPN. It was just after dawn in Woody Creek, Colorado, when the first plane hit the World Trade Center in New York City on Tuesday morning. And as usual, I was writing about sports, but not for long. Football suddenly seemed irrelevant compared to the scenes of destruction and utter devastation coming out of New York on TV. Even ESPN was broadcasting war news. It was the worst disaster in the history of the United States, including Pearl Harbor, the San Francisco earthquake, and probably the Battle of Antietam in 1862, when 23,000 were slaughtered in one day. The Battle of the World Trade Center lasted about 99 minutes and cost 20,000 lives in 2 hours, according to unofficial estimates as of midnight Tuesday. The final numbers, including those from the supposedly impregnable Pentagon across the Potomac River from Washington, likely will be higher. Anything that kills 300 trained firefighters in 2 hours is a world-class disaster. And it was not even bombs that caused this massive damage. No nuclear missiles were launched from any foreign soil. No enemy bombers flew over New York and Washington to rain death on innocent Americans. No, it was 4 commercial jetliners. They were the first flights of the day from American and United Airlines, piloted by skilled and loyal U.S. citizens. And there was nothing suspicious about them when they took off from Newark, New Jersey, and Dulles in D.C., and Logan in Boston on routine cross-country flights to the West Coast with fully loaded fuel tanks, which would soon explode on impact and utterly destroy the world-famous Twin Towers of downtown Manhattan's World Trade Center. Boom, boom, just like that. The towers are gone now, reduced to bloody rubble, along with all hopes for peace in our time, in the United States or any other country. Make no mistake about it, we are at war now, with somebody, and we will stay at war with that mysterious enemy for the rest of our lives. It will be a religious war, a sort of Christian jihad, fueled by religious hatred and led by merciless fanatics on both sides. It will be guerrilla warfare on a global scale, and no front lines and no identifiable enemy. Osama bin Laden may be a primitive figurehead, or even dead, for all we know, but whoever put those all-American jet planes loaded with all-American fuel into the Twin Towers and the Pentagon did it with chilling precision and accuracy. The second one was a dead-on bullseye, straight into the middle of the skyscraper. Nothing. Not even George Bush's $350 billion Star Wars missile defense system could have prevented Tuesday's attack. And it cost next to nothing to pull off. Fewer than 20 unarmed suicide soldiers from some apparently primitive country somewhere on the other side of the world took out the World Trade Center and half the Pentagon with 3 quick and cautious strikes on one day. The efficiency of it was terrifying. We are going to punish somebody for this attack, but just who or what will be blown to smithereens for it is hard to say. Maybe Afghanistan, maybe Pakistan or Iraq, or possibly all 3 at once. Who knows? Not even the generals in what remains of the Pentagon or the New York papers calling for war seem to know who did it or where to look for them. This is going to be a very expensive war, and victory is not guaranteed for anyone. And certainly not for anyone as baffled as George W. Bush. All he knows is that his father started the war a long time ago, and that he, the goofy child president, has been chosen by fate and the global oil industry to finish it now. He will declare a national security emergency and clamp down hard on everybody, no matter where they live or why. If the guilty won't hold up their hands and confess, he and the generals will ferret them out by force. Good luck. He's in for a profoundly difficult job, armed as he is with no credible military intelligence, no witnesses, and only the ghost of Bin Laden to blame for the tragedy. Okay. It is 24 hours later now, and we are not getting much information about the 5 W's of this thing. The numbers out of the Pentagon are baffling, as if military censorship has already been imposed on the media. It is ominous. The only news on TV comes from weeping victims and ignorant speculators. The lid is on. Loose lips sink ships. Don't say anything that might give aid to the enemy. Dr. Hunter S. Thompson's books include Hell's Angels, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail 72, The Proud Highway, Better Than Sex, and The Rum Diary. His new book, Fear and Loathing in America, has just been released, a regular contributor to various national and international publications. Thompson now lives in a fortified compound near Aspen, Colorado. His column, Hey Rube, appears every Monday on page 2. And every time I read that, I am reminded of just how accurate it is to exactly what happened. The fact that Hunter S. Thompson wrote that article 24 hours after the event occurred and called so much of it directly to a T really proves that his voice, when lost from the national conversation and from the national publishing industry, was just incalculable as far as what it meant. I can't imagine if he had lived longer what he would have had to have said about the wars in Iraq, about the wars in Afghanistan, about the fact that we ended up killing Bin Laden in Pakistan, the third country that he mentioned, and about all of the grand usage of resources that we spent and sent over there, only to lose most of it by the time that we pulled out of that war only a couple of years ago. And the fact that, yeah, they did start watching everybody, they did start surveilling everybody. It is really, truly impressive. And in the way that I've sort of talked through the Bleeding Edge episodes about how 9/11 is sort of the end of history, and how everything moved from being in person to being online, and how, as I've mentioned in some of the more recent episodes, how that gives the, you know, governmental establishment or the deep state or the intelligence apparatus or whatever term you want to use an easier time of controlling people, of keeping their fingers firmly on the balance of power. You know, no one is able to kind of summarize that better than what Hunter S. Thompson does in this article. You know, the descriptions that he's forecasting from years in advance are exactly what came to pass, and I believe that is what Pynchon is trying to write with this book, sort of to give a further understanding of why, or the understanding of the powers that may be that help contribute to these things when they happen. So that's going to be it for this week's bonus episode, or bonus content, or however you want to view it. Hopefully you've gotten something out of this, just like last week with the Declaration of Cyberspace. And hopefully we will see you guys in the next episode when that posts. Hopefully we'll all be back together, all four of us. That'd be ideal. And hopefully we can finish out the rest of the book with no more scheduling interruptions. But if that does happen, we'll always try to scrounge something up that's relevant for you guys. And hopefully this one was an enjoyable one. As always, thank you for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email at mappingthezonepod@gmail.com. We are also on Twitter at pinchonpod. We are also on Instagram at mappingthezonepod@gmail.com. And we are also on Instagram at Mapping the Zone Pod. We also have a YouTube channel, of course, where you can leave comments and listen to the episodes as we release them. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.